All right. I was hoping the board would provide filet mignons for everyone. I don't see any head shaking yes up there, so I see head shaking no, right? But a good steak, and who knows what béarnaise sauce is. Oh, maybe we'll have to make some next year. We'll see what happens. But these are senses that God gave us to enjoy. Did you know that this scripture encourages us to find joy in all circumstances? Can I encourage you today to seek to enjoy your life? You know why? Because you can only give to others what you have. So be contagious with a life enjoyed. How does that sound? You know, here's something that I think is we should have made this one of the keys. To discover the secret that life will not bring joy to you. You and I need to discover the secret that life will not bring joy to you. You must bring joy to life. I think that's an important secret that some have not yet discovered. I'm going to try to change glasses here and see if it can help me see better. Yeah, maybe a little bit. I want you to think of the things in life to enjoy. How about sunshine? Some of you said you enjoy being out here like this today. Some enjoy rain. There's a number of you here, I bet you enjoy laughter, don't you? Things that make you laugh. Now, of all this list I'm going to give you today, I think this one coming is my favorite. Quiet. Right? Sometimes I like to play unannounced games of hide and seek in my house. I don't tell my kids. I just go hide. So, right? So I like quiet. I bet there's some here today you like travel. I'm one of those people that like home. I enjoy home. Many of you here today, you enjoy family. You enjoy friends, don't you? Some of you actually enjoy work. Others enjoy play. Maybe you enjoy both. How about this? We all enjoy food. And then we enjoy more food, right? There's going to be food today. There's even some crazy people in the world that enjoy exercise. What is wrong with those people? I don't know, right? There's some that enjoy rest. One of the evidences that you are living the life that God created you for is when you enjoy life when your circumstances are not the source of that enjoyment. I'm going to give you three keys today to unlocking enjoyment in your life. Number one, first key is this, seek good pleasure. Seek good pleasure. I think too many in Christianity are not enjoying life. Somehow there's this mentality that if it's more spiritual, it has to mean less enjoyment. That somehow if it's sacred, it has to mean somber. All right, that's not true. I think the church, in many ways, has developed a perspective of enjoyment from the pleasures of the world that drive us away from God instead of the pleasures of His Word that draw us near God. But the Scripture teaches us that God designed us to enjoy Him and to enjoy the life that He put us in. In Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there He put the man He had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. That sounds like an enjoyable place that we would all enjoy being in. Doesn't it? It was God's idea to put us in a beautiful place with delicious foods and beautiful scenery all around. So enjoying life, what does it do? It returns us to God's original intent for us, doesn't it? God never intended that our lives be filled with pain, tragedy, turmoil, and sorrow. God created a very different world from the one humanity has turned it into, hasn't He? Oh yes, the paradise of Eden that we just read about in Genesis 2, that's gone. But when the creator of Eden and all of the universe resides inside of you, we can still enjoy life. Imagine if we could not see all of the different colors that surround us and are over us today. What if we had no taste buds? Chocolate would mean nothing to you. Can you imagine that? But no, we have taste buds to enjoy wonderful delicacies from around the world. The things in life you enjoy, it's a capacity that God has designed in you. It is God who created you with desires and passions. So why is it that religion tries to suppress and deny our passions? You see, God has given us His Word today, beloved, to redirect our passions and our desires from being destructive to being creative for His glory. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4 says this, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." God says that. So instead of trying to spend your life eliminating your passions and desires, maybe you should delight yourself in the Lord and find the ultimate fulfillment that you were created for. You see, now, it is important to fulfill our desires God's way. Hear me, you hear me say this often. God's ways are always the best ways. God's way is always the best way. Otherwise, what happens? We go to all of the wrong places and try to satisfy our desires with counterfeits in a destructive way. You see, you know this is the case when what you went after ends up owning you. Here's some evidences of something that you went after ending up owning you. You're left with guilt. You're left with regret. You're left with depression. You're left with an I don't care attitude. I've already done this much, so I might as well continue on this track. And oh yes, today, beloved, there are a lot of things that destroy us, and they are extremely pleasurable. But then the pleasure became a pattern. And then the pattern turns into a life domination, right? In fact, the Bible even tells us sin is pleasurable for a season. Could be a short season, could be a long season. But the thing with seasons, they come and they go. There comes a time when the season is over. Erwin McManus, in his book Wide Awake, he wrote this, "You were created to enjoy, but make sure you enjoy what you were created for." You do not want, listen to me today, church, you do not want what just feels good to be the compass of your life. The Scripture leads us, or the Scriptures lead us to make decisions that bring enjoyment for a lifetime, not just pleasure for a season. But what do we often do? We often create rules and rituals that end up squashing our desires and crushing our longings instead of establishing biblical guidelines that sanctify them. It's no wonder that so many go back to destructive pleasures. We build resistance with guilt. We build resistance with fear. And instead of righteousness, with godliness and faithfulness. Too many times we end up developing an either-or mentality instead of a both-and, or a both-and. So it's either rules or passions, desires or demands, enjoy or obey. Well, which sounds better to you? Right? And let me ask you today, do you believe that obedience to God is in conflict with enjoyment in life? I don't think so. God certainly doesn't think so. How could you ever live the life of your dreams if you don't believe that God is the source of all good and made you to enjoy His good? God does not want to stop us from enjoying life, but He does want to help us find the true joy that He created us for. You know, there's two kind of people that start fires. You have the arsonist that'll go set a forest or a building on fire. And that's a criminal act, isn't it? And the idea of an arsonist is to destroy. But there's actually a second kind of person that starts fires. They're actually very highly trained firefighters. They're called hotshots. So there could be a forest fire someplace going on, and all of the helicopters and the planes that are dropping water and the fire retardants just isn't getting the job done. So the fire departments will send out these people called hotshots to intentionally start another fire so that that fire will grow into and consume the other fire on this end and protect valuables on the other end. So you look at the metaphor of that, what God is desiring to do by the work of His Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word. You might have some burning passions and desires in your heart and life, but they're destructive. So what Jesus does through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, is said, here, start another fire in your heart. Start another fire in your life. Start another fire in your will. Start another fire in your desires, and it'll protect the valuable things, and it'll go into the other fire that's consuming you, and that good fire will consume the bad fire. I think we need more hot shots for Jesus in the world today, right? Not allowing the enemy to bring temptations and desires in your flesh that really acts as nothing more than an arsonist in your heart and your soul. Hear me today. A truly enjoyed life restores original intent. And when you start a fire in your heart and life that's really started by Jesus Christ, it'll consume all of that other stuff. How many just wants to shout out today, I want to be a hotshot for Jesus? Right? How many hotshots for Jesus are there today? Key number two in unlocking enjoyment is find pleasure in others. You see, in the beginning, there was perfect harmony between humanity and all creation. But then there was this break in our relationships, wasn't there? In Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it said this, "To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbirth very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all of the days of your life." You see, in the beginning, there was perfect harmony between humanity and all of creation. But then there was a break in that, wasn't there? And we just read here that the birth of every child is evidence that we are born into a world in a relational crisis. Creating life and now bearing life is now a painful thing. And that is a metaphor of the ones you love the most are the ones that can bring the most pain. And it brings brokenness from God, doesn't it? And now, there is the toil of labor. We'll mention more in a moment. Part of unlocking enjoyment in your life is reversing this curse through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And restoring pleasure in relationships by enjoying marriage. Enjoying your children. Enjoying your church community. And the neighborhood you live in. Enjoying friendships. Life is enjoyed best with people. And for Adam, his labor would now be a curse to him, and he would never produce what he used to with ease. It's another harsh reminder of a broken relationship with our Creator. This is evident that when we search for meaning, we're left empty and wanting. I've got one more key today to unlock enjoyment. Key number three is find pure joy. You see, James, the brother of Jesus, shows us that you can enjoy life when you're free from depending on the external things for your joy. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Anyone here facing a trial of some kind today? I bet in some capacity, we all are. You've either just come out of a trial, you're in one, or maybe you're about to head into another one. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, if you were to ask, or if I were to ask you, well, what brings the most joy in your life? I'm guessing that most here probably would not say, well, hardships, of course. Oh, please, bring some more hurtful people into my life. That just brings so much joy, right? You probably would not say hardships or hurtful people. You probably wouldn't say, oh, the goal blockers bring joy. No, none of us would probably say that. Yet the place of suffering is where James says joy is to be experienced. No longer dependent on external, but now Christ within. You know, I know some days are given to pleasure. Who has a great vacation planned for the summertime? Yeah, one of our members disclosed the other day. In fact, I think they leave today. They're going on a cruise to the Bahamas. When I found that out, I said, take me with you. Right? I want to go. Cruise ship out on the ocean seas. Walking the beaches of Bermuda, the sand coming between the toes, the waves cresting with a nice zephyr or breeze coming on. Oh, who needs to go? I'm there in my imagination right now, right? Who's with me? And then there are other days. Who remembers the children's book, Alexander's Horrible, Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? Right? Some days aren't like that. We're much more desiring to go on the cruise to the Bahamas, aren't we? Or to Bermuda, wherever they're going. It's one of those B places down in the Caribbean. But James, in his writings, calls us to rise above it all. You see, you cannot avoid the difficulties of life, but you don't have to be defined by them. Don't be defined by something external, but something eternal that God plants within us by His Spirit and His Word. Now let's take what James says about joy and connect it with Nehemiah's thoughts on joy. You see, Nehemiah gives us a mandate to enjoy life. Nehemiah tells of a time when the scriptures had been lost in Israel. People had been exiled, they'd been in captivity, and the scriptures had been lost. There was a huge vacuum. All they had was some of the stories of the elders and some of the oral traditions that had been passed down from generation to generation, but the copies of Scripture was gone. There was a huge vacuum in the nation of Israel, but then the Book of God was found one day. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, it says this, and Ezra was a scribe. Then Ezra opened the book. This is after they had found it and the assembly of Israel had gathered together. Then Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them on a platform. And he opened it and all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And it gives the name of a number of people, and the people were being instructed in the law. And he read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving meaning so that the people understood what was being read. And one of the things that happened is they began to weep. They're like, this has been absent. This has been missing from our lives for so long. It was a holy moment in the life and the history of Israel. So the people's response made perfect sense. But verse 9 in Nehemiah 8 says this: Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah writes in verse 10, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who are to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You see, it was the word of God that was to bring joy and strength to the people of Israel. Hear me today, beloved. Knowing God and knowing His Word, it's a reason to celebrate and have joy in your life. The less you enjoy your life, the weaker you will be for the journey that you are on in your life. And think with me today of all of the things that God could have given us to bring to be your strength. He could have said, "My word will be your strength. My spirit will be your strength. My goodness will be your strength. My power will be your strength. My provision will be your strength. My protection will be your strength." He could have said all of these things, and He does. But what does He say would be your strength? Joy. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. It sounds to me like God wants us to have His joy and enjoy life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
In the way that He intended and designed it to be. You know, I'm going to ask you if you can. It might be difficult, but if you can, just stand with me in this place or out in this place today. At this place. We've talked about unlocking a lot of great things that God provides in our lives. And I know that this message, at least in part, really speaks to me. Especially the one that says to enjoy others in unlocking joy. I wonder if you're here today and you're in the midst of a difficult or an undesirable situation or circumstance. And you feel that it's that situation or circumstance that's robbing you of joy in your life. What we learn today is joy does not have its source in something external, but something internal. It's Jesus Christ. And that the Word of God can bring joy to our lives. Maybe your joy level is in direct proportion to how much time you're spending in the Word of God. If you are getting into God's Word and getting God's Word into you, you will find a way. God will show you the way to do what you think it's impossible. You see, in your mind, you're saying, with what I'm facing, who I have to live with, or what I don't have in my life, there's no possible way I can have joy. But the question is, are you allowing Jesus in you to be greater than your external circumstances? And see, don't make the mistake of thinking joy and happiness is the same thing, because they're not. I cannot be happy, but yet still have, come on, some of the more seasoned saints know this, a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We used to sing that. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Come on! You're not singing with me. All right, I'm going to stop right there. But a joy that is unspeakable and it is full of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
How many would say, maybe I need to unlock what is truly pure joy? I've depended on things from the world or even myself or family or someone else and external joy to bring happiness and a counterfeit sense of joy. But I need more pure joy in my heart and my life today. Or maybe it's with others. When's the last time you found true joy in your spouse, in your children, in the community of people that we're doing life together with? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. And how many would say, you know, in some capacity today, I need to unlock joy. I need to unlock enjoyment in my life. Would you just indicate that by raising a hand? I need to unlock genuine enjoyment in my life today. I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we got a snapshot that you created us to enjoy life. And when Christ is in us and we are in you, Lord, and we find the right way through the Word of God, because God's way is always the best way, we can truly find joy from within, regardless of what our external circumstances are. For every man, every woman, every young person that raised a hand today, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would descend upon them. And a new determination would rise up within them. To say, God, I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to turn to your word. I'm going to go after the truth that I heard today. I'm going to go after more of the joy of the Lord, because it's the joy of the Lord that is my strength, and it's the Word of God that's the source of that joy. It's Jesus Christ. So I pray over everyone here today. Thank you for your love and your goodness, and that you've created life, and we can unlock enjoyment and experience true joy in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you today. You can sit and listen to the music and pray. I know that the bottom room here is